I bring you greetings from myself. My dear wife and family, and from Word at Home Bible Church. Man of God, thank you for this opportunity to serve God, to be a blessing to God's people. I do not take it for granted at all. This morning, can we offer a word of prayer together? Let's pray. Father, we have come to you this morning to confess that we need help. To confess to you that by your Spirit, please draw us close to you. Draw us back to the place of worship. Let your fire burn afresh in our hearts again. Make us instruments indeed that bring you great honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. So this morning, can you help me? Maybe just forget that I'm a pastor. Just look at me as a brother. One who is privileged like you are to be brought out of darkness into salvation. One who has been granted mercy and grace to know the living Lord as my Savior. One who has been drawn from a place from which, normally speaking, I shouldn't come to salvation, but God went all the way to bring me to himself. Like I think he did for you. One whose heart is full of gratitude that the Lord God Almighty himself can become a man so that he can save a man. So I don't want to preach. I just want us to talk. Is that good? But because we're in church, so you don't say, I didn't read any scripture. See, is that guy a Christian at all? He came to church. He just talked. He didn't read scripture. Can we see Genesis chapter 2? Together. Let's read verse 5. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth. I'm reading King James. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Let's read the second scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's read verse 18 together. I don't mind if somebody can help me. You can read from where you are. If I can hear you clearly, I can echo it out. 2 Corinthians 5, 18. Okay. Yes, help me. Anybody there? Yes, sir. Yes. Now, all things, how many?
All things
are of God.
Who has reconciled
us to himself?
Through Jesus Christ.
And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Thank you, sir. What a privilege. What a blessing. You know, God created man and created work as he created man. Praise God. So work is not a product of the fall. Work was created before the fall.
God gave man assignment over the earth and said, you take charge of the earth. Work it. Praise God. So work was not a burden before the fall. It was a fall that corrupted work. Praise God. So man is created for work. So there's a clear pattern I see from Scripture, though I don't claim to understand it entirely, how the sovereign Lord, the God of all glory, the Almighty, the all-knowing and all-wise, will work and then invite man to partake in his work. Even though he can do it all together by himself, he can finish it all by himself, but he gives us this privilege to come alongside him as he works in us to will and to do according to his good pleasure. He is doing the work, and yet he's asking us to just participate. I think it's awesome. I think it's a blessing. I think it's glorious. I don't know about you, but in your workplace, have you seen one or two people who are very good at what they do? And what do they do most times? They want to shield everybody else from that work because they want to keep shining. Now, God can do it all by himself, and yet he wants us to partake in what he's doing. It's a privilege, a high privilege. It's a high blessing. Praise God. He, God, does the major work like we read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 5. It was God who created everything. God had pronounced the plans, but then he held them back from manifesting because he had not caused it to rain yet and the man was not available yet. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? So he could cause the plants to just grow and appear physically. But he said, no, let's allow man enjoy this work. There's something refreshing about work. There's something recreating about work. Some research show that people who stop work too early kind of die off early because man is intertwined with work. So God called man to partake in this work. So let the man come and till the ground, then I'll cause it to rain. I've already done everything, but I want him to enjoy seeing how the plants will sprout. I want him to enjoy seeing how they will bloom and bring forth. And this is consistent all through Scripture, all the way to the New Testament, like where we read. Praise God. So the king of all the unseen realms and the seen realms now draws you and I into his work. What a blessedness. Isn't it wonderful and glorious when you and I consider where we are coming from? But you all look too good. You look very good. So I don't know whether you are coming from the kind of place I'm coming from before I got saved. You all look to me as if you're all good boys. You're always good girls. You know. But some of us were in a place where there was no possibility of being found except for grace and mercy. We were in the darkness of sin, sir. There was no hope for us. We were in despair. We had been written off. In fact, even we had written off ourselves when it comes to living right. And that's how the man outside is. That's how the one who is yet to come to Christ still is. He may come out smiling, drive a good car, have a good job, a good career, but there is a cry on his heart. There is a darkness that envelops him. He longs to see light, but he doesn't know what he's looking for. So he looks for all kinds of things, hoping that maybe someday he may run into you. Maybe your story may give him a glimpse of hope. Maybe your story will point him to the one who saved you. Scripture says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not when we became good. While we were still bad. While he still looked as if even if he died, we won't come. He still looked for us. Showing us an example of how we too ought to view those who are yet to come in. We were lost, but he looked for us. I'm going to need someone to keep time for me. Once it's getting close, signal me. We were perishing, wallowing in death. In fact, dead and dead again. And yet he came. In his mercy, in his grace, did not only save us, adopted us into sonship. Gave us the privilege to call him Father. Made us his own. Washed us and engrafted us into his own family. And then, like is typical of him, brought us into his work. Brought us what? Into his work. He saved us and didn't leave us hanging. He brought us into his work. 2 Corinthians 5:18 tells us that he has given to you and I the ministry, the service, the work of reconciliation. To reconcile man who is estranged from God back to God. He has given every born again child of God, every saved person, that ministry. Every saved person. Not just the pastor. Not just the lead pastor. In fact, not just the person who is a worker in church. He has given you and I that ministry. A ministry of reconciliation. How did he do it? He saved us and didn't leave us in isolation. He saved us and brought us into the church. Brought us where? The church. His family. And I made bold to let you know that if you are looking for anywhere where God is working on the earth, God works through his church. God works out through his church. The church is the primary place where God works to reach the lost world. The church is the primary place where God works to release his light into the darkness that envelops the world. And who is the church? You and I are the church. Hallelujah. That means we are the ones he's working through. We are the ones he's working with. We are the ones he's working by. To pass through us, to show the world that there is another kingdom, there is another place where there is peace, where there is rest for the weary soul, where there is joy in spite of what is happening around the world. So I want you to think about it. Think a little bit about your work. How is it when you have to meet those deadlines? When you have to hit those targets. When you have to make sure the boss is satisfied. What does it look like? What level of commitment do you have to bring to your work, to your career, and to your business place to move forward? It's because we have a short time. I would have asked a few people to give me one or two ideas. How demanding is your work? You are excelling at it. You want to excel at it? You will excel at it. How demanding is it? How much commitment do you have to put in? As you do that, I want you to just take a second and think that the Lord expects you. The Lord expects you to excel at the workplace, to be faithful at the workplace, to triumph, but at the same time, He expects you to bring the same level of commitment, if not much more, into this work, this ministry of reconciliation that He has given you and I. If we can work hard to achieve in that career, to be reckoned with, or to make that goal, what about the one who died for you and I? What about the one who has loved us so much? What about the one who has drawn us out of darkness and brought us into His light? This marvelous light. What about the work He also gave us to do? Because the Bible clearly says that He gave us this work. He didn't ordain it just in the hands of angels. Maybe they would have done a better job, but he said, you and I should do it. So what is expected of you is not that you will be left alone and abandoned to go do it in your strength. That's why scripture tells us that He works in us. He does what? He works in us. So He gives us the work. See how good God is. He gives us the work. Then He Himself works in us. Empowers us to will and empowers us to do. If at your workplace they gave you an assignment and they didn't give you what you needed to carry it out, you would have reasons to complain, right? But this God gave you this assignment and then gave you everything you need to carry it out, and then He will come alongside you and do it through you. Like Mark said, he said that the apostles, they went everywhere. You know, the Lord said they should go. We should go. And as they went, the Lord did what? He went with them until they went. So when we go, He goes with us. Somebody says, I don't know what to say. I'm shy. I don't know how to strike conversation with a total stranger. And the Lord is saying, for my sake, I didn't have to become a man. I didn't have to die. I didn't have to leave my glory in heaven. I didn't have to be confined to the womb of a woman I created for 9 months. I didn't have to be born as a baby to be at the mercy of men, running away from the people I created when they wanted to kill me. My goodness. Can you see the sacrifice? Betrayed by those I trusted, sold for a few pennies, all for you. And for me. And heaven is saying, if you contemplate a little bit about the sacrifice that He took, my Lord and my Savior, your Lord and your Savior, to bring you into this light, there is nothing that is too much. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing is too much. Reminds me of the north where I grew up. These people who don't have light, these people who don't have hope, these people who don't know where they are going after this world are so committed to this thing that they could blow up themselves as a proof of their commitment. We are not even called to do that. We are not called to do that. We are called to love at the workplace. We are called to show a stranger mercy. We are called to pray, hoping that a door of ministry will open. And then we can become a channel of blessing that maybe invites someone to church. share something from church with them, and then by our love, our character, they may be attracted to follow us, and eventually, like we committed to Christ, commit to Christ. I don't think that's too difficult. I beg you, sir. I beg you, ma'am. Contemplate the price that he paid to save you. He wants to walk through us so much that he likened us to some professions. You see in scripture? He likened us to some vocations. He likened us to some careers. He called us soldiers. He said we should quit ourselves as men. He said as soldiers, as good soldiers, we should endure hardness. We should allow ourselves to be inconvenienced for the sake of this assignment. So if soldiers on the earth go to Defense Academy in Nigeria, for instance, spend 5 years of torture to come out as a second lieutenant, and the guy is still on fire hoping that if he does well, he will become a lieutenant. And if he continues on that path, he becomes a captain. As he goes on, he becomes a major. Then he becomes a lieutenant colonel. And all he's dreaming about is that he's going to have this red stripe on his collar. I don't know whether any of you dreamt of becoming a soldier. I was crazy about that thing one time in my life. In fact, I even went for an interview. God showed me mercy. They didn't take me. His goal, I'm going to become a redneck. I'm going to become a general. I want to become a general. And they call him at 3 a.m., he's at attention. They call him at 5 a.m., he jumps up. They say, go to Sambisa. He's already on his way. All for a temporal glory, sir. For something that fades away here. Do you know that when we serve God, the reward and the recognition is eternal? It never ends. What you do in church is recorded. And forever and ever, it will be referred to. Do you know that when we appear eventually in glory, when all these temporal setbacks and pain and hindrances are taken out of the way, the Lord will keep referring to your service? Eternity, we'll be talking about what you did in the church, what you did, how you did, how you labored, how because of you somebody came in, how because of you one who should have perished became saved, how because of you a family that had no hope came into hope. Won't it be glorious? Like when men give awards on earth, the red carpet, all the accolades, the citations, and imagine that the King of Glory, oh, angels are reading about you. They are saying Nigeria was not very convenient, but this one endured. Oh, it wasn't very easy, but this one served you to the end, sir. He could have drawn back, she could have drawn back, but she stayed true to you. And heaven is clapping. And heaven is excited. And all eternity is aware of what you did, the sacrifices you did in church for it to become an influence in Lagos to change the darkness into the light that God wants to bring through his church. So sometimes when you are discouraged, sometimes when you are feeling down, sometimes when you are feeling unable, remember that you are a soldier. You are what? Soldier. In fact, scripture says soldiers are not permitted to entangle themselves with civilian affairs. So that's to say, just because of this Christ, I can let go some things that want to hinder me. I want to be fruitful for him. You know, sometimes we say it's because we are faithful, because our doctrine is true, because we don't want to be corrupted. That's why we are not bearing fruit. You see, what God expects of us is to hold the tension of faithfulness and fruitfulness at the same time. It's a tension. Faithfulness and fruitfulness. He didn't say because we are faithful, we shouldn't be fruitful. He didn't say because our doctrine is right, we can make excuses. No. If we trust him, if we hold on to him, If we allow him to work through us, we'll be surprised what he will do through us. You know, there's something I saw in scripture, that there is a principle of a seed. Inside every seed is another plant. True? And if it's a plant that bears seed, then inside every seed is a forest of trees. It's a forest of plants. That means that inside you, perhaps there are 25 people who are to come to church through you. Who themselves, after they are discipled for some time, also become channels of what? Of bringing others. And the chain doesn't break. Is that not how we got the gospel? I read something that said after the Lord Jesus Christ died and rose, how many were there that were in the upper room? Just about 120 of them. A few days later, maybe about 40 days, they became like 3,000. All of Christianity was limited to Israel, as it were. Meanwhile, they were mighty nations that worshiped mighty idols. But by this love and this light, by this knowing that they are soldiers, they brought down empires. Not by boasting, not by trusting in themselves, but trusting in the one who works in them, both to will and to do. And that's what he's calling us to. He called us soldiers. You are a soldier when it comes to Christ. And one thing I know about soldiers is that they are not entirely in charge of their time. A soldier can be on the dinner table and the call comes. He's up. Can the Lord lead you? Will you yield for him to lead you as a soldier that he wants you to be by his Spirit? You are doing well. Your effort is applauded. Because right now, some other people are in some other places. Is that not so? You could have used your Saturday morning for something else, but here you are. And so the Lord is saying, I have seen it, I recognize it. But more can be done. Praise God. Then he calls us athletes. He likens us to athletes. He said, when an athlete is pursuing a medal, the highest is an Olympic gold, right? He's temperate in everything that he does. He puts himself under pressure. When others are sleeping, that athlete is up. Bones are aching, muscles are aching, and yet he's out on the track. Excuse me, sir. That's how they are calling us. That's the level of commitment he's calling you and I to. He likens us to farmers. He said, I planted. Who plants? Farmers. What do we plant? Love. What do we plant? The word of God. What do we plant? The light of Jesus. So the apostle said, I planted. Another worker came alongside and watered. But it was God who gave what? The increase. But I must plant. And somebody else waters. For God to what? To give the increase. I know you did very well in school. How did it happen? God is sovereign and almighty. So he downloaded all the textbooks. Is that what happened? He downloaded every information you needed. He downloaded the questions that are going to come in the test and in the exams. Is that what happened? You applied yourself. You studied. You worked. And then he blessed it. So church is not different. It's not. 2-3 people in your neighborhood, you are loving them with the love of Christ. You are talking with them. There's a young girl on my street. I just talk with her. How are you doing? Where are you now? Just like that. Small talk. Every time I'm driving out. And then I said, we have a special program in church, an event. Would you come? He said, okay, I'll ask my mom. You see, how did it happen? I've been talking with her. I was the first to greet her. So you'll be the first to do what? To reach out, because he reached out to us. You see, while we were lost, he didn't wait for us to find him. He came searching for us. He came searching for us. Who will search for your lost neighbor? Who will search for that colleague in your office? Who will search for that relation? God is searching for them, but searching for them through you. Somebody says, God is sovereign. He knows those who will be saved. Yes, that's good. I think it's more an encouragement than a discouragement. Because it means that if I go out, there are people who will what? Who will be saved. If I make effort, there are people who will what? Who will be saved. Because God knows those who will what? Be saved. And he knows at what time. So you may plant here. It may not necessarily bring fruit immediately. Another person comes to water later and the person yields. But you did the initial work. Praise God. Praise God. He likened us to farmers. And these are all people who have to be hardworking in what they do. He likened us to athletes, to soldiers. Because he wants us to be up and doing. And maybe I mentioned this point briefly. Sometimes all you need to do, my brother and my sister, is just to contemplate how he brought you to himself. Sometimes all you need to do is to think about the sacrifice that it took him to save you and I. How can he? Some people said he was a prophet. A major prophet like that, stripped naked, beaten openly. In fact, the Bible says he was so beaten that his visage was marred. So that if you see him, you are not likely to recognize that this is Jide, this is Dele. This is Bola. This is Nosa. No! Everything about him was torn. Bleeding from everywhere. And in that pain, naked, they took him, nailed him to the cross, and allowed his weight to rest on the nails. I'm using today's terms. I'm sure it may be not likely nails, but whether bones or whatever they used. Can you imagine the pain? Have you ever seen a man beaten? Have you ever seen somebody beaten? Have you ever been where somebody was beaten? It's not a pleasant sight. One day there was something like a riot in the north, and I saw how they were beating a man. No, it's not something you want to see. What they did to Jesus was worse than that. That's for you. And for me. Doesn't he deserve my commitment? If he sacrificed like that, doesn't he deserve my own sacrifice? Maybe there are people who are not necessarily at your class, but you open your doors, just hoping that as you love them, as your family loves them, of course, you know it's Lagos. You the drum, but they shine your eye. Praise God. You the drum, but nobody say the drum like MUMU. Praise God. Some bad boy can come to church and get saved just because when you pass, say, how are you? And nobody in your class looks at them when they pass. May he use us. May he find us faithful. May our commitment to him through his church rise to another level. Because he works primarily through the church, like I said earlier. It is this pool of people that he rides upon to bring in more people. I don't know why God does it like that, but that is how he does it. That if he wants to help a man, he sends a man to the man. Amen? Yeah. When God wants to help you, he sends somebody into your life who becomes the help. The same way when he wants to destroy somebody, the enemy sends somebody. When the enemy wants to destroy, he sends somebody. Let us be the salt. Let us be the light. Let us be the ones that he will send. A word from you.
A smile from you.
A little care from you.
Forgiveness from you. Somebody who deserves condemnation is forgiven by you. And they see another side. And they begin to question in their hearts. And as the relationship grows, one day they ask you why you are different. Then it opens the door for them to know what made you who you are.
Shouldn't those of us who have the truth be more bold about it? Shouldn't we be more confident, knowing that what we hold is the truth? Should we allow those who adulterate the gospel, who corrupt these things, with the kind of people that the Bible says their God is their belly, should they take over while we are relaxed?
Shouldn't those of us who have come to the true understanding of the gospel be eager?
Like the apostles of old. Paul the apostle crisscrossed the known Palestine world and other nations just so that others can come in. He said, in fact, I make myself to become all things to all men that what? I may by his all means win some. Maybe some are for me to win. Some are for Barnabas. Some may be for Peter. But the ones that are for me, I must do my own part to see that they come in.
He said all that he heard, he counted it dung. He counted it trash. He counted it rubbish. All his Jewish pedigree. Don't you see the wisdom of God? God sent a man who was not very schooled in the law to the Jews. And then took a man who was very schooled in the law and sent him to the Gentile world. To force humility. You know, you find yourself in some situations that force you to be humble. Sorry. I heard about a pastor who went out on evangelism, and as he was talking to these people on the street, they were not paying attention. And the man got angry. Do you know who I am? Do you know, you think if you come to my office, you can just walk in like that? I'm talking to you. And the man forgot.
He forgot how precious his soul is, whether it is educated or uneducated. Whether it is rich or struggling. Have you ever thought about those who end up without Christ? Where they go to? An eternal place of condemnation. Not for a year. Not for 10 years. Am I close? Not for 20 years. Forever. Forever. Forever lost. Forever without hope. Forever in darkness and torment. Sometimes when we see the people on the streets, the people around our neighborhood who haven't come to faith yet, we should think of them in such terms and have mercy. Maybe you can intercede in the place of prayer.
That a person who the enemy wants to condemn can come to this life, to this light. To this kingdom.
Personally, I don't know how those who don't have Christ survive. I just don't know. I was talking with my brother as we were coming. I don't know. How can somebody survive in this world now without God to run to? Without God to call upon? With all the pressures? With all the complexities?
Shouldn't you and I have mercy?
Like, had mercy on us. Shouldn't you and I increase our commitment like he became so committed to us that he became a man? Shouldn't you and I think that how he made effort, we should make effort? Remember, he's the son of the King of Kings. He's the Son of the Lord of Lords. He is God. Is any of you here a prince from a royal house? You carry yourself with that confidence. You carry yourself. Somehow at the back of your mind, you always tell yourself, I'm humble. But sometimes you're a boy, now prince I be you. Somebody can throw away their privileged background or downplay it just so that the church can move on. Now, I've seen a few committed people in my life, and some of them are from where we may think the doctrine is not very good. Why don't we who have the right doctrine increase our commitment? There was a young man I met many years ago while I was pastoring in the north. This guy, the church he belongs to. So, you use this place 247, right? Okay. They didn't have that privilege. So, they were using an event center. This guy told me that he gets to church 4:30 to 5 a.m. So he belonged to this unit that goes ahead. The church has a truck. So they have a church office in another part of town. Because you know the peculiarities of the north. So they have church office in another part of town. And then they meet in a hall in another part of town. You have to drive. And then in the city where he was, to be safe as a Christian, you have to live in another part of town. And maybe work force you to go to work in another part of town. You understand the dynamics? And so this guy told me he will leave home 4 a.m. or 4:30 a.m. and drive to church, a few of them, and help bring down the heavy equipment from the church truck. Then put them in place. As soon as they are done, around 6 a.m., the sound people have arrived waiting for them. And those sound people will now do their work. And the sound has to be perfect. I was just looking at this guy. What kind of commitment is this? What is it that made you have this level of commitment? He said, Pastor, you don't know where I'm coming from. If you talk about sin, I was one of those in the highest grades. And then God showed me mercy and saved me. Out of that love, out of that commitment, out of that passion. Not because he has to make me rich. Not because he has to give me a wife. Not because he has to give me a husband. It's not because I'm looking for children, but because he first loved me. Met another young man recently. Who can excuse his business for a little while so that he can go work in the church for a few hours once or twice a week. That's some of the kind of commitment that God is calling us to. It's not very convenient, but when the fruits start coming in, it's like a woman who is in labor. She's pregnant with a child. It's all pains and discomfort. But the day the baby comes forth, all of that is forgotten and is joy. If somebody comes to church and becomes committed to this Christ, if someone comes to church and becomes saved because of your effort, the Bible says in heaven there is joy. There is celebration because his soul, the soul has been won. That's what the Lord is calling us to. You've been laboring. Some of us have been burnt before. You were in a place. You were treated very poorly and very badly. You were hurt by church. And so sometimes people, when they come back, they are coming back, but they are a bit tentative. They are a bit careful.
I don't want to be taken advantage of.
Jump in, sir. Jump in, ma. Because they took advantage of him. Jump in because they betrayed him for you. Jump in because they sold him for you. Jump in because Gentiles crucified him for you. Do you know what it means? It's so serious that when Peter visited the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, Peter had to be explaining that, you know, it's not proper for me as a Jew to company with you guys. That religion was still in his head. And then to say that they arrested him, the highest humiliation was they handed him over to a people who never knew God.
He endured all of that so that you and I can sit here today. He endured all of that so that you and I can come. He endured all of that so that we can be part of his body. So that he can walk through us. So that he can work with us. So that he can work in us. To empower us to do.
There are souls to be won. There is work to be done. But the fruit will not appear because there was not a man to till the earth. If God can find us this morning, if we can become the ones that he can use to till the ground, if we can become the ones that he can see and then pour down the rain so that the harvest can rise unto eternity, what a joy. What a glory that will be. So this is the little I've come to share with you this morning. I challenge myself as I talk to you. The Lord said, if any man puts his hand to the plow and looks back, it's not worth it. Don't draw back. You see, that verse, that statement is inconsiderate of the challenges that you face when you put your hand to the plow. Have you ever held a hoe before? Anybody here? We are all Lagos people. We are all GRA people. Your hands don't look like someone that has held a hoe. In school?
You are weeding Najebota grass.
In secondary school, one of the ways they used to punish us was to give us a portion. Rainy season, when the grass is very stubborn. And I schooled in a place where the grass can be very stubborn. Blisters on your hands sometimes when you use the cutlass or you use the hoe. But he said you must finish the portion. The portion he gave you is inconveniencing, and yet finish it. It's inconveniencing, but do it. It's not palatable, but do it. It's painful, but do it. Oh, my bones are aching, my waist. But when they say it's a contract, doesn't matter how the receptionist talks to you. The man's secretary is uncultured. She's rude, but you endure her. Contract is waiting. You don't really even like the man, and yet you smile every time you see him. Let's stop worshiping money. Because in Lagos particularly, the kind of commitment we show to the pursuit of wealth, when it comes to church, no. It's raining cats and dogs. Somebody living on the island is already at Ikeja by 6:30 a.m. It's raining. He doesn't have a car. How did he get there? Commitment. They're going to pay him at the end of the month. Or that contract. He won't hammer. He won't blow. Oh, how much more when it comes to eternal sins. The Lord Jesus Christ said, he that overcomes, I will give him a stone. He said, on that stone, there is a name written. There's something heaven calls you. Heaven is cheering for you. The clouds of witnesses are happy because you are laboring. He said, on that stone, there is a name written. There is a nickname. There is a pet name. There is a playful name. I don't know whether your father had a name for you. Maybe you used to eat too much And your father coined a name for you, a playful name, just you and your dad. Oh, Abba Father has a name for you. If you labor until the morning, he will give you a stone. He will give you a crown. And it's not going to be about pastor or mommy. It's not even about the other brother in the music team. It's about you and the one whom you are falling in love with. Love is always committed, commitment. Has anybody here ever fallen in love? How far? What were the kind of crazy things you did because you were in love? When I was courting my wife, I was living on the other end of town, and she lived on the other end of town. It was so serious that some people on their street thought I lived next street. Yeah, it was that serious. I felt as if I don't marry this babe, I don't miss. Serious pursuit. But we should pursue God much more. We should pursue his kingdom much more. Pursue him more than you pursue your wife or your wife-to-be or your husband or husband-to-be. Do you know how serious this thing is? It's so serious that the Lord said, if anybody would love wife, husband, children more than him, they have missed it. That's how serious it is. It's so serious that we can be called to die for it. I wonder if you can't afford to give a few people a ride in your car because you drive one of the best cars, and rainy season, many of them, they are, you don't want mud. If that is very inconveniencing, what will it be like? God show mercy. If you are ever called to lay down your life for him. Do you know it's happening in our country? Oh, you are not aware. You are too shielded in Lagos. May God show us mercy. May he not come here. Some of the riots where I lived before, they can hold a man down and say, deny or die in this country. Many died like that. I've gone too far with my Savior. I can't turn my back on him now. Reminds me of that hymn, that woman who got saved, and she was sick unto death. When she gave her life to Christ, she was full of joy. But then when she realized that she was going to die, she became remorseful. And the preacher saw her that day and said, Why are you sad today? And she said, I'm thinking of my Lord and Savior. I wasted my life. I didn't work for him. I have never brought a soul. Is this how empty I'm going to go and meet the one who died for me? Must I go an empty hand? So must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet must. You see, people know it better than me. No trophy at his feet. You didn't bring anybody. All this price was wasted only on degrees and visas. All this labor was wasted only on foreign travel. What about the people who left their cities when we were in the jungle? Sorry, forgive me. And came here and labored so that you and I can come to me. Today, nobody says go to the jungle. We just say around your neighborhood, in that office, in that fitness club, in that place where you do life,
If we are open to it, the Lord will certainly create opportunities.
Maybe for someone is saying, I'm going to repair my commitment. I want to be counted. I want to be in church before the doors open and be part of those who set up the place so that others can come and enjoy the comfort of the presence.
Oh, my work is very busy. It takes a lot of my time. But I have resources to push the work of the kingdom forward. That's my area of call.
I have this skill. I want to deploy it for the kingdom. Not because he has to give me another car or build me another house. No, but because I love him. Because he loves me.
Let's pray.
Bow our heads in prayer. I've been becoming discouraged lately.